Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice, on the web at wileymanager.com. All right, welcome back to another Wiley Manager Podcast. And on today's show, Bob, we're talking Project Management 101.
We are indeed, Jed. We're handing out credentials now. We have numbered courses.
Before we get there, though, we had some viewer mail. Well, somebody's trying to help us with our grammar and spelling.
Yeah. David was good enough to write to us on the Wiley Manager website, and he says, I'm wondering why sometimes you spell labor, L-A-B-O-R, as labor, L-A-B-O-U-R, because I did a blog post on labor negotiations a few weeks ago. Uh-huh. So you seem to toggle back and forth. Is spell check not working? Well, actually, spell check works just fine.
We just choose to ignore it occasionally.
Yeah, that's right. We about half our audience is in the United States, where you would spell it L-A-B-O-R, and about the other half of our audience is in the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and India, where you would spell it L-A-B-O-U-R. So we're trying to be good for all time zones, Jed. That's our only guilty thing here. So
watch for an upcoming podcast on how to be neighborly, and you can give us some critique on how we spell neighbor as well.
Yeah, so we have spelling sort of schizophrenia on the Wiley Manager websites.
All right, well, that was good fun. Let's walk through today's agenda.
All right, well, we're going to talk first of all what a project is. We're going to talk about what you do before a project. We'll talk about the project plan itself, how to execute your plan, potential pitfalls to worry about, and then we will leave you with three things to remember.
All right, my friend, let's begin by clarifying how projects might be different than a program or just your regular ongoing work.
Right, okay. Well, the bottom line is that a program starts and stops, right? Which it might seem like a ridiculously simple explanation, but nevertheless, that's different than what you're doing regularly, right? So now you may have similar elements to your core business, but it is otherwise a unique thing. It starts on one date, ends on another, and it's outside of normal things that you're doing inside of your business or your organization. Normally, there should be a whole bunch of interconnected parts of depending on the scope of your project that lead to a common goal or a set of goals.
All right, so there you go. There's a difference between what a project is versus your regular type of work. Let's talk a bit about a few things you're suggesting we need to do before we sit down with our project plan.
Okay. The first one is that you need, and arguably this could be part of your project planning process, but I'm going to argue you need to do it before you go into the trouble of outlining all your tasks, okay? Right. So the first thing you need to do is you have to have a clear and specific goals and objectives for the project, right? You need to have some idea of what it is you're trying to get done. It's amazing how often people just start hurling down a path because they get a great idea, right? And they, you know, all of a sudden, well, wait a second, I thought we were doing this when actually somebody else thinks we're doing this thing. So make sure you have a clear and specific goals and objectives for the project. Equally as important is making sure that all the stakeholders involved actually agree with those goals and objectives.
Yeah, right? They have different ideas than you.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I was on a project once where there was representatives from organized labor, representatives from government, and representatives from an employer's council, right? These people couldn't agree on lunch, right? Much less, you know, putting together a major project plan. So you need to make sure that your stakeholders actually agree on the objectives. Otherwise, it's going to end badly. You can identify potential risk to your project at that point, identify potential measures. Again, you need to know how you're going to be doing well and not so well. Mm-hmm. You need to draft members to your project team. You have to have a steering committee in place. So your steering committee acts like your board of directors, if you like, for this project.
Okay.
And you need to specify the scope and the terms of reference. So the scope is, again, are we talking regionally? Or are we talking nationally? Okay, are we talking about building a plan for a building? Or are we talking about building the whole building?
So what's in the project versus what's outside of the project?
Right. And again, well-defined terms of reference, you'll get to all of this stuff. So,
okay, well, let's move on to the actual project plan itself now. So you've identified and clarified all those things that before we sit down, now we're talking about get out your Excel spreadsheet. Let's start marking up tasks and duties and who's going to go do them.
Right. So essentially, most simplistically, a project plan is who does what by when. Okay, it's pretty easy. So, but what we need to look at is the first thing is, again, what are the major tasks and key milestones as we go along? Okay, make sure that all those tasks that you list that need to be done in your project have a clear connection to a higher level goal or objective.
Right.
Okay, because again, otherwise we end up toiling and we end up doing stuff that may or may not have any value. So that's your what, right? What are we going to get done? Next part is that who, okay? So assign the most appropriate person to get that task done.
Yep.
Okay. So who has the skills and abilities to be able to execute that quickly, right? Or whatever way you need it done. Okay. Next, you need to, so you've got your what, your who, now it's the when. So what's the deadline for that individual to get that task done, right? And you articulate all this. It's usually done in a spreadsheet or Microsoft Project's actually particularly useful. Don't be intimidated by those things either, though. Make sure that, you know, you can write all this stuff on the back of a napkin if you want, right? We used to do this stuff by writing it out longhand,
right?
In the old days. It's just as effective, right, in many ways. So complex projects, if you're good with spreadsheets, you have somebody that is, that's certainly helpful. I actually quite like using Excel and Project and whatnot. But if you're not confident in those areas, don't let that scare you. Write it on a piece of paper. You'll be fine. And the last thing you need to have is your project plan is you need to be a place to track your costs and resources. So resources are usually people and dollars.
Right. Are we on time and on budget?
Right, exactly right.
The other piece I'll add here too that I find helpful for myself, you mentioned identifying key milestones. Sometimes those key milestones end or the project end are easy to work backwards from. So if you can establish when those key milestones need to get done by and then work your tasks backwards from there, it can often be a helpful way to approach where and when to put work into the project plan.
Yeah, and that's the true value of doing a project plan, Jed, right? Is because you've got the ability to do that sort of stuff as opposed to just winging it, right?
Indeed, yeah. Figure
just,
it out
just
as you
kind of hoping it works out, right?
All right, let's move on to we started to draft up the project plan itself, but the plan is great, but only as good as the execution of that plan.
Yeah, and I should say here too is that some people become really married to certain types of project planning methodology. Yep. Good for you, whatever works for you. I'm going to argue that your discipline around that plan or methodology is way more important than whatever plan you choose to use.
Tool you choose to use, yeah.
It's all about execution, babe.
All right, let's talk more about what executing looks like.
Okay, so I'm going to argue too that really all project planning is actually communication planning. So a well-executed project plan is one that is really, really well communicated. So you need to communicate constantly if you're the leader of a project.
Right.
Okay. So key parts of those is there's the people on your project team, there's your steering committee, and there's other stakeholders. All of these people or all of these groups of people need to be constantly fed information. So your project team, you may in fact meet with every day or even several times a day, right? If it's a longer term project, maybe only once a week, I don't know. It's highly situational, but it's, again, if you're on one of these intense projects, you could meet every 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right. Your steering committee, again, these are the people that are going to act like your board of directors. Again, it's highly situational, but you're going to want to keep these people on the loop fairly often, especially you as a leader. They're supposed to guide you. Okay, so they're the ones that are going to keep their eye on the higher level bits of the project, right? So as opposed to the people that are on the project team, they're making the tasks go, right? And you as the project leader, you're sort of between these two. So that's why it's critical for you to get feedback from the steering committee, because again, they're going to try to help you stay between the white and the yellow at a higher level, right?
Okay.
And then you've got your other stakeholders, right? So this could be, other people within your organization. It could be government. It could be regulators. It could be customers. It could be suppliers. It really depends. But nevertheless, you've got other stakeholders that are involved. Make sure that you fold them in as appropriate, right? So, and that again is highly situational.
And then there's a bunch of stuff that comes up while you're executing that plan as well, whether it be issues that arise or, risks that start to crop there or to come out of the woodwork, so to speak.
Right. So your risks, these are the things that, okay, these are things that could potentially go wrong. So what are you going to do to minimize the risk of that happening? Right. So these are things you need to sort of look out ahead. You've also got issues. So issues are things that are already going horribly wrong.
They're the risks that you didn't look at before.
Right. Yeah, that's right. When you ignore a risk too long, it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
So your issues are things that you have to manage now. Right. Because things have started to go a bit sideways. And so either way, you got to be looking at both of those. And finally, I'm going to argue you need to be flexible. Right. So some people like to really overschedule projects. Okay, they like to say, well, we're going to do this. They like to schedule it down to the tiniest minute, right? And, life is just not that tidy, right? And so you need to be able to roll with the punches to a certain degree. So more planning is probably better than less planning, but there becomes a point of diminishing returns.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, cool. And there's a few other potential pitfalls from a project management standpoint you wanted to highlight.
Yeah. So, and we've kind of talked to it all the way around these. The first one, again, is over planning, which I just spoke to. The next one would be under communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you need to tell people as you go along progress and challenges that you're having. Okay. So here's where we are. We thought we'd be further along on this thing. We understand why we haven't moved that along. Here's what we're doing to try to fix that. again, when we talk about your steering committee and your other stakeholders, you need to make sure that you're communicating appropriately. So a potential pitfall is to under-communicate to those people.
A project is often involves a certain amount of change, and I think it was John Cotter suggesting that too often we under-communicate by about a factor of 10.
Yeah, it's a great point, right? So it's probably safe to say that you can't over-communicate in a lot of cases. I suppose there are examples of when you could, but you will probably err on the side of under-communicating. So be very aware of it because it's an easy mistake to make.
All right, one more pitfall.
Would be not connecting the task to the goal. So again, we get people all charged up and busy and
running around,
busy putting ticks in the box, and that's all good stuff. But we need to make sure that all those ticks that we're putting in a box have a connection to a higher level goal, right? So hopefully if we did our stuff at the front end, we're okay with that. But we need to be constantly checking in to make sure that people are not toiling away in futility.
That would be a bad thing.
Yep.
All right, sir. Well, let's talk about three things to remember.
One, two, three.
Right on. Okay. And I've probably talked to this already, but nevertheless, the first thing to remember is that your methodology matters less than the discipline you apply to it. Okay. So, again, if you don't like sort of what I put together a very generic one in this package here. If you don't like it, fine, use your own. Use whatever one your organization uses. That's all cool. Your success in that project will not be dependent on what project planning methodology you use. Your success in that project will be dependent on your discipline around using whatever process you have.
All right. Number two.
Number two, focus matters. Okay. So you need to, and what I mean by that is again, you need to connect people to a higher level goals and objectives of whatever the project is. You need to make sure that those goals and objectives are agreed upon by all the various stakeholders. Okay. So you need to, again, keep your eye on the ball.
Yes. All right. So far, it's discipline and focus. Very Karate Kid like.
Not bad, eh?
And the third one.
The third one is interestingly, so I was researching this, I came across a book I'd used years ago, and I haven't talked about it that much in this podcast, but I'll throw it out there. This is called The One-Page Project Manager by a guy named Clark Campbell.
Okay.
I think you can get it sort of anywhere. And what I really like about this book, and again, his methodology is slightly different than what I've talked about here, but what I really like about it is that you can use the whole one-page project manager methodology with whatever your stuff is. It's just a great sort of gut check, if you like, for all your stuff. And it is what it promises to be. It is on one page. And he offers that electronically as well. So if you buy his book, he can pick it off his website as well.
The Wiley Manager guys like anything that can boil down into one page.
Yeah, we like that very much. And yes, there's we have no quid pro quo with I don't even know who Clark Campbell is, but I like his book.
Very good. All right. Yep. We have a few other related podcasts. In addition to that book, some other resources from Wiley Manager that you can go check out.
Yep, you mentioned one already. I'm trying to remember what it was now because I'm usually drink a lot of cough syrup before I go into the broadcast booth.
But I can't even remember which one I mentioned already either. So let's talk about the three that we do know about.
Okay, we talked about we've got back at the Wiley Manager website. We've done a podcast on post project reviews. We've done one on communication planning. We've done one on building a team charter, and the one you mentioned earlier was business case.
Building a business case, yes, which is related closely to the work you do ahead of the project plan. To remember as well, we only keep the last years with the podcast on iTunes. So we've been doing this for, man, close to 2 years now, at least, Bob. So maybe half of them are on iTunes. The other half you'll have to go find on the Wiley Manager website.
2 years. It's 3 years.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. You missed a year there somewhere. You must have been hungover.
Well, I guess there's lots of podcasts that you won't find on iTunes, but you will find at WileyManager.com.
Yes. We have over 100 podcasts. Only 52 of them are on iTunes.
All right, and what's coming up next on the Wiley Manager Show?
Coming soon to the Wiley Manager Show, Jed, we're going to do time and priority management. We haven't talked about that in a while. We'll also be talking about decision making and how to influence your boss.
Oh,
stay
cool.
Tuned for that one. That could be good.
All right, and as a special gift for our loyal listeners, each of these podcasts comes with a cheat sheet that's available to members on our website. We've bundled five of those cheat sheets together right now called Be a Mentor, Not a Micromanager, and those are available to you free at WileyManager.com.
Right on. All right, Jed. Well, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for your time, Bob. See ya. Hey, thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.